am Connor from the House of El.
And I am Ray from the House of Zod.
We are two of the many, many survivors of Krypton's destruction, and we have made our home in Australia, and dare I say, have become Australians, for better or worse. But we have also decided to read Superman comics, read Superman books, watch Superman shows, cartoons, movies, basically everything Superman, and from an Australian perspective as well. Whether you're a seasoned fan, like me,
or whether you are coming in fresh, wide-eyed, and wanting to learn more like me, then this podcast is for you. Join us for our bi-weekly adventures available on all good podcast catches.
But just search for Last Sons of Krypton, a Superman podcast. We'll be coming to you from Australia or some cosmic dimension, wherever we are that week.
Up, and away!
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. This week we are discussing LEGO DC Superhero Girls Super Villain High.
This is our last one, right? Of the DC Superhero LEGO Girls things. Or am I misremembering?
I think I'm just having a quick look. There was one more.
Oh.
One more. Yes.
No, I just thought we were done, but that's cool.
Yeah, so this film, due to circumstance. Now, normally what I do when I watch films for this podcast or if I watch stuff for Rise of the Robots, I will sit down at my computer with a Guinness. I'll have the notepad app up and I'll just type my notes. Unfortunately, due to reasons, that didn't happen this week.
Yeah. So I mean, obviously, I always make copious notes, as you're all aware.
I know. I meant to talk to you about it because Zoe actually contacted me. Just the whole house is notes now.
Yeah, that's all I do. Like notes about strange characters from DC she's never heard of.
Yeah. So, anyway, so instead, I ended up watching this in a cafe in Glasgow on my phone.
At least it was a geek cafe, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's good.
Yes, but you should see the look you get when you're watching LEGO DC Superhero Girls on your phone.
Come on, people love the DCAU.
I don't think DC loves the DC.
No.
Thank you.
I don't think DC knows what it likes or what it doesn't like most of the time.
I still find it frustrating that the company that managed to get the multiverse right twice has somehow managed to screw it up when there was actual money on the line.
I was talking to someone else about this recently, about how it's just been one of those weird bits of fate that Marvel keeps doing all these big DC things differently than, or better or first, or more successfully, I should say, not better. So, yeah. Yeah. They'll get it. They'll get there.
Yep.
And people really do love...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
DCAU. I mean, we shouldn't mock that.
I mean, to be fair, we've had more live-action reboots of Batman than even Spider-Man, so...
Yeah, and, like, but it always makes me laugh, because it's, like, one of those things, like, people I say this as obviously a bit more of a Marvel head than anyone who listens to this podcast, probably, that, you know, people have all the grief for, like, oh, you're doing Batman's origin again. It's become, like, kind of almost a meme of amusement. But no one gives Spider-Man the grief. And, you know, we do have his... I know they didn't for the MCU ones.
Yeah.
Probably very aware of that. But, you know, we have had Spider-Man's origin a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not as much as Batman, because, let's face it, nothing is as much as Batman. But it's similar. You know, I'd say it's up there with, like, you don't, I personally, I know people then complain that the MCU ones didn't do it. I don't personally need to see it again. I can just hear about it, you know, in the same way as Batman.
Oh, yeah, I think that's one thing the Batman got right, is it was like, you know his parents are dead, but we're not even going
to... Yeah, it was like, thank God we don't have to... And it's not because you don't want to hear about it, you don't want it to be play a part in the thing. It's just, I don't need it to waste time in my film.
Yeah.
Like, even when they did it in the... Because they did it in the credits, in the intro, didn't they, for Batman v Superman?
Yeah.
And that was all right, but it just meant it was a little bit trite. And it meant you went into the film going, oh, the pearls. You know, like, you know, I think it didn't set me up as in a good way for the film.
Rebecca, be very, very careful insulting a Snyderverse film.
No,
they
I
are
don't,
listening
because, like, I genuinely thought it was all right. I just don't think it's like, I thought that was a mistake in the same way as I thought, you know, like, some of the dream sequences were a mistake. They worked better in the director's cut.
Oh, no, absolutely.
But, like, when I first watched it, like, I didn't not enjoy the film. I just thought that, yeah, so apologies to anyone who is a Snyder
fan. It's fine.
But I can't imagine many are listening to this, given...
Yes, I somehow don't think...
Given that it has
think...
a woman on it.
Yes, given that it's, one, there's a female presenter, and two, the fact that this is a film about a load of... female characters, yes, yeah. I think somehow that we might just avoid the Snyder Bros today.
But, you know, I apologise to any. I did quite enjoy the film, so.
Yeah. I will actually say, getting back, I think it's always telling when we spend, like, 10 minutes not talking about the film.
Yeah, okay, so, like, but...
Right, so the film itself, but, right, let's... Okay, I'm trying to think of something like that's not just meh. The cast is good.
I actually thought, like, although this isn't going to give us much to talk about, I thought the plot was relatively good.
Yeah.
Like, it made sense. It didn't have massive detours. There was a clear, it starts, the plot plays out, it ends.
Yep.
Like, you know, like, some of them then wandered off into high school games days and random things like that. I thought it was all right. It's just not like it's. I still think that after that first couple of these superhero girls, whether Lego or not, that I was very iffy about. This one was enjoyable enough, but it's for not for me. Like, it's not for my age group, and that means it's kind of simple and straightforward, and, you know. But it was it's nice seeing a lot of the... Like, it is genuinely nice seeing characters you don't tend to see much.
Oh, absolutely. And it is nice that you've got stuff like Bumblebee, like, Katana actually getting, like, more than two lines of dialogue.
Yeah.
And it's even stuff like we've now got... They realised Dr. Fate was the best thing about the last Lego movie they did.
Yeah, but I kept thinking, but Wildcat does look like Sonic in a very off-putting way. Like, every time he came on, I was like, why is Sonic in this film? To the point where I had to, like, go, no, wait a minute, that's Wildcat.
So
he's in it quite a lot, and I kept going, oh, Sonic.
So anyway, the film starts with Supergirl, Wonder Woman, Batgirl, and Green Lantern, which at this time is the Jessica Cruz version of Green Lantern.
Yeah.
And they are fighting Catwoman, Cheetah, Frost, because we can't call her Killer Frost, and Poison Ivy.
But in a danger room.
Yeah, in like the...
In what the X-Men would call a danger room.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to remember. So, at first, the villains are... Well, sorry. The characters who are conventionally villains in the comic books, because no one's a villain out of these characters. Well, there's one person that's kind of a bit... Well, is very much... is a villain, but is playing along. Mm. But Catwoman, Frost and Ivy are definitely not villains. No. In this version. I think this is the first time we've had Catwoman, actually.
Yeah, I think so.
So the heroes win after switching opponents. Okay, fine. It's very clear that Cheetah is very salty about the fact that they lost and refuses to shake Wonder Woman's hand. So, yeah, it's kind of established. Yeah, Jessica Cruz has joined the Big Three, though not in the main title card. It's still only Batgirl, Wonder Woman, and Supergirl in the in that team. Meanwhile, we cut back to Lena Luthor, who, when she's not getting harassing calls from Eclipso, which I
they
do
were
like,
harassing.
I do like that there is actually a continuity.
Yeah.
Like you could you could watch this without watching the because there's a TV series as well. You can watch this without having to watch all of that. But there is still a through line from the first one of these two to this one, even when they change animation styles halfway through.
Yeah.
though I still don't get, because it's this sort of semi-Lego. It's Lego, but not really.
Yeah, it's kind of Lego, but rounded. The hands are all Lego. Everything else is a little bit just kind of blocky.
So Lena realizes that she needs an army of assistants whilst being waited on hand and foot by her army of assistants made of kryptonite.
Yeah, that's quite sweet, because they're all like, oh no, notice me, notice me. It's much funnier than the Mjolnir joke in Thor 4, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, these are late, you know, it's late enough that these could be a slight riff on the Minions.
Yeah, but they're cute, and that's fine, and like, you know, I'm good with that.
So, Lena instead has the idea of, let's build a building the size of a school. So, her plan is then to impersonate Amanda Waller as Amanda Waller goes on holiday.
She wins a prize to go on holiday.
Yeah.
She wouldn't normally.
I mean, this version of Amanda Waller is just, you're sitting going, oh, this is not the Amanda Waller we've seen. Even in these films, she's completely different from the other Amanda Waller performances. So she's going off on holiday. Grodd is in charge until Amanda Waller shows up.
Yeah, poor Grodd.
Yeah, poor Grodd. He was all prepared to do his job and then didn't get the chance to. So Lena then, and this takes like 10 minutes of screen time. So various things happen where we have specifically Catwoman, Cheetah, Frost, Ivy, and who else? Well, Harley just shows up in the principal's office.
That makes sense.
But various things are done to set up that they're being sent to the principal's office. They're being set up to make it look like they've cheated or done something really bad. The weird one is, one of them is they put itching powder in Wonder Woman's hair, which means she doesn't win a race.
Yeah, that was a bit high. I mean, fair enough. It was a bit school kid.
Also, whilst this is happening, the other major plot in the film is Bumblebee and Kitana are really super competitive with one another. And it starts with them having, the only thing I can think of is this is a squash game.
Yeah.
And it's implied that this squash game lasts for over a day.
Which is a long time, and squash is very high impact.
Yeah.
Very tiring.
But anyway, so as I said, through various circumstances, I think it's like one time Catwoman's made to look like she cheated on a test. I meant to say, I don't know who Oberon is, but no, whoever he is, he has issues.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, look, another obscure character. This is one that even I haven't heard of. So, oh, also, Beast Boy tried to cash in on the squash game as well.
I mean, I like Beast Boy. He's quite sassy.
Oh, and Flash is also in this film because Killer Frost's prank was that it looked like she froze the showers whilst Grodd and Flash were having a shower. Mm-hmm. So, they also do a gag on, oh, no, the glasses work if you try and disguise yourself as Supergirl.
Yeah, it's rubbish.
Which you're kind of going, no, the whole point is, it's more than just the glasses, it's the glasses, it's the posture, it's the voice, it's, you know,
it's the whole demeanor.
It's the whole demeanor, exactly. So, also, I forgot, we also get the two appearances of Maurice LaMarche, who's my favourite voice artist, because he plays Oberon in Red Tornado. Mm-hmm. I mean, Maurice LaMarche, all the kind of characters he's played, he's the guy who voiced Mr. Freeze in the Arkham games. He's also, I think he's the guy that voices the Brain and Pinky in the Brain.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
Because it was what's a reference that's... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what, definitely one I would get.
So, anyway, Amanda Waller basically goes, oh, no, you're all on your last warning now. You might want to have a look at other places. And then then the heroes go to confront Amanda Waller, who has a weird haircut.
Yeah, yeah, a very weird haircut, which they comment on being young girls.
Yep. Yeah. Then another hero meets with our cabal of villains. Mm-hmm. Who calls herself Divide.
Yeah.
And she says, oh, well, I'm going to another school which is called Uber High.
She's just great.
Absolutely. So, Uber High is Lena's front for a school.
So she can make friends.
So she can make friends.
I mean, like, we should point that out. That's the motivation. She's like, why are they all friends? Oh, they're all at school together. I'll make a school.
And they also, so at this point, also it takes the superhero girls a very, very short time to go, oh, that's definitely Lena Luthor.
Yeah, yeah.
I do love that Lena Luthor's kind of become the main villain in this series.
Yeah, yeah. I guess, I mean, it kind of makes sense, but it's kind of weird as well.
So, from there, so she then impersonates a version of Amanda Waller called Principal Taller.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah. So there's also they send Jessica Cruz into the school as an infiltration agent.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretends
to go bad.
So the first job is Uber High has been hired to test security at Cadmus.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know how Cadmus exists without Amanda Waller, but okay. And they are to grab hold of an urn that is alien tech.
Oh, wow.
It later turns out that, oh, no, the gag about this is, oh, no, this is actually, this was actually purely just to get a vase for some evil flowers.
Yeah, this is a dumb little something for them to do. This makes no sense.
Oh, this is more just a test run, basically. Yeah. So, it turns out that, yes, and I've just put them down as the villains, even though they're not the villains in this. And they successfully managed to get hold of all the items. Ivy has a plant motorcycle for some reason.
Because she's Ivy. Everything's going to be plant.
Yeah, but why a motorcycle?
And it makes no difference. It makes no sense. These things make no sense.
Also, I do love at some point, I'm sure that there is someone taking a dig at Put Your Cape On.
Oh, I'm sure of it.
Because even they don't know we've done this too much.
I mean, it's a lot.
Also, meanwhile, whilst this is happening, it turned out that Kitana and Bumblebee slept through their finals.
I mean, that sounds very appealing to me.
During their midterm, sorry. So instead, he wants them to go and do an extra credit assignment. Mm. Which any time a teacher says that to two female characters, I always go, oh no.
Yeah, it's always bad news.
But on the plus side, and this time, no, it's actually a legitimate reason.
Yeah.
Which is, no. I want you to go and find a necklace. And to tell you where to go for this necklace, you must use the Globe of Fate. Yeah.
Yeah, another nice little random thing.
And basically, I'll just kind of quickly go through. The whole idea is the whole time, Kitana and Bumblebee are being competitive and being competitive. And what that ends up happening is it means that they are not able to successfully grab the necklace. And they go, no, we shouldn't have been competing with each other. We should have been working together.
Oh, that's they get it. That's what this film is all about.
Yes, absolutely. So, and it later turns out that I get the impression that that was Dr. Fate's plan all along.
Yeah, I don't buy that, but he has quite a cool little bit in it, so.
Yeah, so after successfully getting hold of the urn, or the plant pot, or whatever it is, Tola then wants the party to infiltrate the Rock of Eternity. Which I believe that this is the wizard from... this is the wizard who grants Shazam his powers.
Yes, it is.
And he's in a room with a statue of the seven deadly sins.
Yep.
And also some gems. And... We have reason to believe that the wizard has turned evil and you must steal the gems.
Yeah, which is unlikely.
Meanwhile, Green Lantern pulls Cheetah to the side to confess that she's a mole and she's in on it. It turns out that, one, yes, Cheetah knew about it already, as did Lena Luthor and Lashina, who's randomly in this for reasons.
I guess because they're good fighters, so they're good sort of backup there.
Yeah. And...
And we've kind of seen them before, so I guess there's a little bit of... Haven't we? I think we've seen
them before, yes.
So, there's some sort of continuity there.
So it turns out that it was a trap. And they've locked Green Lantern in a room where she can't contact the other guys, and she then is attacked by yellow kryptonites.
Oh, no.
Because yellow the colour being, yellow is the Green Lantern's weakness.
Their weakness, yeah. Exactly.
Which is why we get the dumbest scene in the dumbest Frank Miller comic book.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the heroes get a train to the Rock of Eternity.
It's good to support public transport.
They end up getting trapped in a room by Cheetah and Lena. And the whole time they're convinced, oh no, Cheetah isn't evil, she's just been like mind controlled. Mm. No, Cheetah's evil.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to go anywhere with it, but Cheetah's evil. So, they then find out that Green Lantern is trapped with them. It turns out that the wizard is awful at his job. The villains are able to easily steal the gems, though they get chased by the statues of sin, apart from Sloth, who's too busy having a nap.
He's Sloth, you know. That's his thing.
Also, I know that they've kind of changed the names slightly.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the sins is injustice.
Yeah.
I'm taking it that's instead of avarice, because it's kind of hard to explain avarice to a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
So, Batgirl figures out a way for the heroes to escape from the room they're trapped in.
Because she's smart, Batgirl.
Though it turns out none of the others were paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
The heroes then have to fight the statues, though they are able to get away because Supergirl is able to summon a superjet made from the ship that she crashed onto the planet from. And the wizard doesn't notice that the 7 massively powerful gems that trap his statues are missing.
Yeah, I mean, he's not very good.
Also, we do notice as well that the other thing that comes here is the villains are starting to question. They're starting to go, wait, are we the bad guys?
Yeah. They start to realise they're not great.
Wait a minute. Why are we wearing skulls on our uniforms?
Exactly. So, they start to get it.
Yeah. So, they've been sent, the party is then sent to break into Superhero High!
Finally, what they really wanted.
To steal the Globe of Fate, Dr. Fate's Magic Ball.
Sorry.
Oh, no, I'm planning to go, you know, it's, why don't they just do what Avatar did and just go, what's the place and name for this item? Unobtainium.
Yeah.
Sorry, that film's on my mind because I'm going to see it on Thursday.
Are you?
I've never seen it in a cinema.
Okay. I don't think it makes it any better.
It's
very beautiful and you'll like all the beauty of it.
And that's all I need from a film is for it to look pretty. I'm shallow, really. He says, doing a film that analyses a cartoon made by
Right, exactly,
girls.
Yeah. It doesn't look that pretty, but okay.
So, Cheetah is able to come up with a plan to convince the other girls to get in with this breaking into Superhero High, which is, what you're going to do is you're going to challenge the team of heroes to another sparring match, and then we'll sneak in and grab the globe.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a sparring match between the heroes and the villains. It's different villains from last time. Also, at this point, it's clear Harley absolutely knew.
Yeah.
That something funky was going on. She just didn't care because it was
fun. She just didn't care.
Which actually, to be fair, is about as good a characterization of Harley as I can think of.
Yeah.
In any of the films we've covered. It's like, Oh, wait, Harley does actually have some intelligence. That's nice.
Yeah,
I mean, it took a second attempt for the movies to get, the live action movies to get that right, so. Anyway, so. Eventually, during the sparring match, they managed to convince the villains that they're doing a bad thing and they should stop. Including, there's a scene where Poison Ivy, Supergirl gets upset because she turns a tree into a weeping willow.
Wow. Yeah. She's, Poison Ivy's always upset about something or other.
Which, I just like the idea that Supergirl and Ivy are friends. That's nice.
Yeah.
So, and also kind of puts in perspective how powerful Ivy actually is.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, they managed to convince Wildcat to let them go. And when they confront Lena, Lena pretends to be Waller. The Batgirl is able to break her disguise kit.
Yeah.
And Lena, it turns out her plan was to use all these items, so the gems of the sins and the globe and everything, to make a super suit.
Yes, because that's what you always need.
It's like a super mega suit that's more powerful even than the mega suit she's worn for the last three films.
Yeah, it's true, actually.
So Cheetah at this point pretends that she's mind controlled, and also I've noticed here, Lena uses her powers to upgrade the kryptonites as well. Though I noticed Supergirl has no effects of being in the room with kryptonites anymore.
No.
But anyway, so a fight breaks out. It becomes very clear very quickly that Lena's suit now absorbs any powers that anyone uses.
Pretty useful.
So all of the heroes jump into their various vehicles. And they attack Lena with their guns, because it can't absorb gunpowder, I take it?
Yeah. Well, that would make sense. Not power.
And Lena's suit is massively damaged when she gets the necklace! And it turns out the necklace depowers her. So yeah, I think that was Dr. Fate's plan all along, as he expected Cheetah and Katana to fail. Which is interesting. Lena is defeated. She and Lashina run for Uber High, which then becomes a moving, flying spaceship that's the base of the Legion of Doom.
Oh, well, that's good.
Which immediately gets destroyed by the heroes, who then throw it into a swamp.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the film, we're like, okay, we're going to have another sparring match, but we're going to swap the teams around a bit so that it's not just one team winning all the time. And Katana and Bumble start working together to take the money from Beast Boy. And it turns out that
he's apparently always good for money.
Yep. And Lena Lufa is trapped in a alternative or in a swamp. That means that she and Lashina have to start again. The implication being she's going to make the Legion of Doom.
Which, yeah. So, and we've got the next one coming up. I wonder if they're in that. We'll see.
Yep. So that was LEGO DC Superhero Girl Super Villain High. So the next movie we've got coming up is Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
I think I've seen that.
It was in cinemas, so possibly.
Yeah, I did. I mean, like, and yeah, I won't preview my thoughts on it. So we'll wait and see.
I think it's another film where we weren't the target audience.
It's more that I've never seen any other of Teen Titans Go. So,
right.
I think, I mean, I know people my age who do enjoy it, I think it's just, it wasn't, there was no context for me. I literally, as I'll be watching it on the podcast again,
yeah.
I remain having no context.
Well, to be fair, you've watched more Teen Titans stuff than when you last saw it. That said, you've seen no Teen Titans Go before.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. I've seen no Teen Titans. I had no context for what the humor or the cartoon were like. And that remains the same because all I've seen is this film. But I'll be interested to see if going into it, knowing what the humor's like, change. You know, it's not like I hated it. I just knew that I wasn't really getting some of the jokes. So it'll be interesting to see if that's a bit different.
So, I mean, as long as it's not as depressing an ending as the last Teen Titans movie.
Yeah.
So after that, we have, and if you mentioned to Connor that this is coming up, we have The Death of Superman.
Yeah, yeah, he's very up for that, I think.
Told
me not to read the comic first.
Not a problem on my front.
Well, yeah, he didn't tell you that.
Yes. Yeah. Followed by Constantine, City of Demons. Then we have two. Now, I don't know one of these. So I think this might actually be the last Lego DC Superhero Girls.
Right.
Because the other two movies we got in the kind of is Lego DC Superheroes Aquaman Rage of Atlantis.
Okay.
And DC Superhero Girls Legends of Atlantis.
Okay, so a lot of Atlantis coming up.
Yep. Wait a minute, 2018. I'm just going to check something. I think I'm right, but... yes, 2018 is when Aquaman came out.
Wow.
I wonder if this is tying into something.
Possibly, but it didn't help.
That film is a St. Bernard slobbery dog of a film.
What was?
Aquaman.
What do you mean by that?
It's big, it's boisterous, and it's dumb.
It was just a mess, if you ask me. It was an absolute mess. There was a good story in there, there was a good film in there, but they just kept adding to it. And
yeah.
A lot of people love it. Again, I'm not going to diss on films that people love. So.
As I said, it reminds me of a big, slobbery, stupid dog. And I like big, slobbery, stupid dogs.
That's fair enough.
That's the films we've got coming up. Have you appeared in? Well,
no, nothing. I'm gonna record one with Connor for Immortal Iron Fist Sons of the Dragon fairly soon, at some point today. But so that will be out by the time this comes out on Deadly Hands of Kung Fu. But no, I'm ramping down before I go away because I don't have as much time.
Of course. Yep, and I'm still doing Rise of the Robots. We are currently, at the time that this comes out, we'll be covering BattleBots Season 4.0.
Nice.
Which is the first series where the backstage reporter is Carmen Electra.
Oh, yeah, you said, yeah.
Who might just be... Firstly, one... might be the worst backstage interview we've had so far, and yet is still the third best presenter out of five in this show.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Oh, it's so weird watching it going, but Modern BattleBots is really good. How is this so bad?
It's crazy.
I mean, at least the films I'm doing for this are like an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is like three huge.
I don't understand why anyone thought should be good at that.
Yeah. Anyway. We'll be back in a couple of weeks' time with Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Excellent.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We're at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at dcaupodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.